Hi everyone, welcome to my channel Journey and Beyond Untold Stories. And today I have someone very, very special. His name is Ian. Ian is co-founder of Zealous, where he has played a vital role in the creation of Australia's leading unified commerce platform, Zealous Connect, and the automotive e-commerce solution Zealous Auto. With a background in scaling online retail business, including his early work with one of the eBay's Australia's first online stores, Ian has a wealth of experience in driving innovation and growth across various sectors. Hi, Ian. Welcome to my channel, Journey and Beyond Untold Stories. It's lovely having you here. And how are you? How's it going?
Look, I'm great, Shefali. Thank you very much for inviting me. It's very kind. We're going well. Very busy at the moment across the various things that I try and do to keep the bills paid.
That's good. Business good, right?
Yeah.
So, Ian, without losing time, I will dive into our first question. You have co-founded Zealous, and you're wearing your branded T-shirt, which is great. You have helped create Zealous Auto. How do you identify the market gap?
So basically, some years ago, I have owned and operated automotive parts businesses for a great deal of my life. I actually sold out of them sort of in the mid-teens to do some traveling with my family and some other things. But we'd really identified a gap in fitment. And for the layperson to understand what that is, when you're looking for a part for your car, you generally go onto a website these days and you'll choose what make, model, year, sort of other information about the vehicle. So you can narrow down and specifically find what you want. Behind that fairly simple looking drop down is actually a very complex web of data. And doing it manually, which was the only way people were able to do it online for a long time, was really, really difficult. And I realized that we needed to make this a lot easier, because the conversion rates for businesses that have done it were just huge, because it really simplified the process for the customer, built a lot of trust. I'd met Tim Davies, who's the actual founder and CEO of Zealous, some years before when he was a seller education manager at eBay. And he was trying to solve a similar problem for eBay sellers, and I was kind of trying to do the same, particularly for OE dealerships, for their parts and accessories departments within a website environment. And we both had our own agencies at the time, and we ended up working together quite a lot and sort of made a decision in 2019 to merge. And thankfully, we got some great partners like Redbook, who are the data division of the Car Sales Limited. Also Tech Alliance, a German company that has a strong presence in Australia, powering automotive fitment. And we built some software that made it so much easier for the retailers to actually get in and effectively tag each part number or SKU against the different vehicles that might fit. And that was great. So yeah, we've been doing that for about 6 years now.
Okay, thank you for that. What advice would you give to someone who wants to start a business but doesn't have a clear idea or direction?
I think you need to have a clear idea or direction. You can throw a lot of ideas up in the air, but you need to settle on one, and you've got to make sure that there's market for that, and that you can be competitive in that market or have a unique selling proposition that is, you know, particularly in when you're talking premium, sort of more expensive products, that USP is really relevant to who your target buyers are.
Yep, I agree. So a follow-up question to that, in your opinion, what's more important in business, execution or having a great idea? How does one outweigh the other, if at all?
I think execution is absolutely critical in any business. You can have a great idea. You can find a new problem to solve. Obviously, there's been some astoundingly good businesses created around the world doing exactly that. But you do need to focus on the core elementals. I mean, Uber's a great example. They've taken the world by storm, yet they're still not in profitability. And, you know, that's problematic over the course of time. They're done such an incredible job. Alternatively, you know, I do operate one business that just simply sells other people's products. So it's how do you amalgamate that and execute that well so that you've got a broad offering to customers.
You give a great example of Uber. People often speak about emotional management in business, and it's super important. But it seems that the ones who are closest to us, like our family, see our worst moments. How do we navigate such moments in both personal and professional life?
I think it's really important to really sit down with your family, with your partner, and make sure that you're both wanting to go in the same direction, because it's very rare that you get something that's just successful straight out of the box. It normally requires enormous amounts of dedication, time, generally enormous hours. So you've got to say, okay, we need to try and set a timeline on this, and then what's the reward going to be for that initial sacrifice? I think discussing that with your partner is really important.
What if someone wants to start a business and don't have a partner yet? What qualities one should look in their partner?
Well, it's interesting. I actually know someone who's not partnered, who has an incredibly successful business, valued in the tens, possibly even towards $100 million. They would work 140 hours a week. And obviously they have no blowback from, a partner or a family perspective. I think that if you're entering a relationship when you're already in that position, I think, the same applies. You've got to be really, really honest about who you are, what you do, and why you're doing it, and look for, what are the rewards we'll get back, because there's no point, and it doesn't have to be monetary. I mean, I, in my businesses, haven't really made a huge amount of money in my life. We've had a lot of fun and stuff like that, but, we certainly haven't hit the any heights of, some great entrepreneurs like Russ Kogan or guys like that, but what I have been lucky enough to have in my is a lot of time with my kids, a lot of time that I would have never got if I was working for someone else. So, there was a bit of sacrifice early in the piece, but that paid back in spades in being able to spend a lot of time with my kids, especially during the most meaningful years. So, I think, again, you've just got to follow that path of honesty and really make sure that the goals are aligned and people are understanding.
What strategies have you found most effective in growing an e-commerce business?
Customer, customer, customer. I mean, if there's one thing Jeff Bezos from Amazon really is right about, is your customer is your king. Without them, you are nothing. So you really have to speak to them. You have to understand what they want, understand what drives them, and make sure that your offering fits your target customer base to a majority. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key critical thing. It can be different in verticals, of course. Like, I've got a business at the moment that sells health and beauty stuff, and that's very discretionary. I've come from a background of automotive where it's not a case of, are you buying it? It's just, when your part's broken down in your car, you have to have it. So you are buying it. The only question is, who are you buying it from? So it is very vertical orientated as well. So you need to think that through quite carefully.
Yeah, very well said. Customer is king. As an entrepreneur, how do you balance innovation with practicality when it comes to scaling your business?
Look, as you're well aware, there are new software options. We get bombarded, as does every merchant, every day with dozens and dozens of emails with the latest and greatest thing, which is going to increase your conversion. You have to really look deeply at those things and understand, okay, what is really going to work for the customer? What is genuinely going to make their process easier? Obviously, there's a lot of back-end stuff you can focus on to make your process easier. But you really need to be doing that as you're scaling at the same time, because without that customer traction in the first place, it doesn't really matter what you put on the other side. Once you get that scale, then you obviously need to really innovate on the back end to make sure that you can handle scale efficiently and keep that customer satisfaction level very high.
Good answer. So e-commerce space is constantly evolving. What do you think will be the next big trend or disruption in the online retail space?
Well, I think the big key takeaway at the moment is AI, that obviously everybody's very intently focused on at the moment. And there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of experts out there. I don't really think anyone knows exactly where that's going to go at the moment or what effect it's going to have. But what I do know is that, it's a very data-driven industry. So, there are trends. There's a lot of tools that you can use to watch things. I think it's really critical to understand also where the economies are at. I know this is a slightly longer answer, but, in Australia at the moment, platforms such as Temu and Shein are really taking big slices of the market share, and that's very heavily just revolves simply around price, because so many people in Australia are doing it pretty tough at the moment with high interest rates. Now, that may flip around again. We've seen different cycles like that over the years. But, you know, I think there is also a conglomeration of big business, because as the economies are constricted and contracted, it is becoming increasingly difficult for small business to stay relevant. So they have to be very, very, very innovative in what they do.
Good answer. From your experience, what are the most common mistakes new entrepreneurs make when they start an online business, and how can they avoid them?
Look, it's really hard when you're starting out, when you don't know how things work. You get a lot of really, really good salespeople out there, and often with products that generally do work, but they may not work for you right now. So you've really got to dig deep and explore very deeply the essentials of what you need to make your business work, and stay away from the bells and whistles for a little while until you really understand what's going to take and what's not. I think when we're consulting with business owners, there's a lot of excitement and hype, and I think you need to dumb it down and really look at your individual business and not worry about what everybody else is doing. What's going to gel with your customer? What's going to work for your business? What's going to work for your structure specifically? Not a generalization. And I think that's what a lot of people fail to do when they start up. And I would recommend anybody pay a completely independent consultant who's not getting commissions for anything to help you walk through that assessment, because it's a really low amount of money to pay for what I typically describe as a huge insurance policy for people starting out.
You have built and scaled multiple businesses. How do you manage risk and uncertainties?
Well, it's probably a bad question to ask me, because when I started e-commerce, it was very Wild West. You could just about throw anything up on a platform like eBay or even online, and you seemed to sell whatever you put up there, so long as you weren't, you know, ludicrously expensive. It is completely flipped off that now. It's a game of strategy. It's a real game of strategy. So again, you've got to really think and dig in deep about what you're doing, and there's so many mistakes you can make along the way. And again, you really want to take some deep advice from clever independent people early in the piece to really work your way through what is a minefield now of information.
Yeah. Plus, you got to have a risk appetite.
Yeah, correct. And, you know, capital is very hard to get.
Yeah.
You do need to make sure that, you know, you've got some forward planning. So even if you don't have it immediately, if we do hit this level, what happens next? I mean, I'm personally suffering from that issue at the moment. We've grown very strongly on Amazon in one of my businesses, and they don't pay you for a really long time, and I've got to pay my suppliers well before I get paid. So, you know, that creates some very, very interesting dynamics, particularly when credit's tough, or you may, for personal reasons, not have access to a whole sort of wad of cash. So you really need to forward plan and understand what the criteria are. At what point do you need something? Who do you turn to? What are the criteria? Banks are very tough on lending. It may be that you are better getting investors in fairly early in the piece on a small scale.
Yeah.
Just to help you carry that plan. So yeah, you do have to take a lot of focus on that and really understand, what does it look like now? What's it going to look like in 6 months? And what's it going to look like in 3 years?
Nice. How do you approach long-term planning, and how do you ensure your business stays adaptable in the rapidly changing market?
Oh, that's a very loaded question, Shefali, because it really is, in my experience, wildly different for every different vertical that you're selling in. So I guess the short answer is, because the variety is so different. Like when I'm selling auto parts, you know, as an example, as I said before, that's things people have to have. They are buying it. The only question is who are they buying it from? So that's one way of positioning yourself. In the health and beauty space, you know, that I have a business in at the moment, you know, we sell lower cost pharmacy style lines, and we've seen quite a lift in our sales over the last 12 months as people are coming down from much more expensive brands. So I think you really need to be looking ahead slightly longer term and seeing where's the shifts of the market. Okay, are interest rates going up? Yes, they are. We saw that happen consecutively over many times in Australia. And understand that, you know, okay, people's incomes are going to come down as a majority across the board. We really need to assess our range and go, what is that affordability point where, even when they're doing it a bit tough, they can still afford it, and it still, you know, helps their life in one way or another.
Nice. When you're hiring for your company, what qualities do you look in a candidate?
I tend not to be a big resume reader when I'm hiring, because I really look for motivation. You know, I try and drill in to somebody. I mean, you know, I'm in a very small business at the moment with my retail business, so, you know, we've only got a couple of people. When I had a much bigger business, I was very much, obviously they have a good degree of intelligence, but they needed to be motivated. But probably the biggest thing for me has been attention to detail. Attention to detail is really hard to find people who can just literally walk around and spot issues out of the corner of their eye and just go, hey, there's an issue, I'm going to fix it. When you're working with data as well, data is completely unforgiving. So you've got to get it right. If you have a space or a dot or a slash in the wrong spot, it can send a whole website crazy. So I really value that, and motivation. Yeah, somebody really wants to be there. They're not just there for, you know, because I have to get paid to do something at the end of the week, but I'm really looking for something else. I try and look for long-term people who are really inspired to want to grow in that particular industry.
Nice. So good employees always have many options. They keep getting new opportunities. How do you retain good employees in your company?
I've been really lucky there. I think you have to build a happy workplace. I always have just really run with an open book policy of honesty. You know, just spit it out, whatever it is. If I do something you don't like as a boss, just hit me with it. I'm not going to get grumpy about it. Let's work through issues. If there's better ways to do things, yeah, I think communication is key. And not making anyone more powerful than anybody else in the way they interact. You know, you've got an owner who's technically more powerful than, say, you know, a junior employee. But they should be able to interact on a one-to-one level and have a really open human conversation. A lot of people that work for me have had poach attempts at more money and have told me about it, not asked for any more, and stayed simply because I think we made a really nice working environment and they felt safe at work and they felt cared for and protected. And I think, you know, as Richard Branson says, I'm a huge admirer of Richard Branson, but it's really important to bring a lot of humanity into the workplace and, you know, as much as is operationally possible, work around to make that position work for that person's life.
Very true. So, Ian, entrepreneurial journey is very tough. You and I know that. Who has been the biggest source of strength for you?
Goodness, that's actually quite a long list.
Bring it on.
Look, yeah, definitely from, I guess, the people everybody know, Richard Branson's been a great inspiration to me. Locally, I really admired what Ruslan Kogan did with the Kogan business. I kind of watched that from afar, from, you know, when I first met him many, many years ago at the Retail Global events that are held on the Gold Coast each year. And just that can-do attitude that he's shown is very inspiring. I've also had some, you know, incredible women leaders that I've sort of followed. One that I know a little bit better than others is Jen Gill and her husband Michael, who did Mountain Bikes Direct. I think their story is very inspirational. Another one who I don't know personally, but I've followed and admired her for a long time, is Julie Mathers, who originally founded Flora and Fauna and now has Snuggle Honey, which is a kid's eco-friendly clothing business. And I've loved watching a lot of, you know, typically, you know, diverse things just change over the years. And in e-commerce, we've just got this amazing community of people from all walks of life, all genders, all countries. It's nice. Just a brilliant space to be in, and everybody is just amazing.
Nice. Can you describe a particular challenging moment in your entrepreneurial journey and how you overcame it?
I think when sort of many, many years ago when my auto parts business has started to really scale, it was really challenging managing the workload. It was particularly challenging when, you know, I felt that I didn't have enough money to hire more staff, but I'm working 140 hours a week. And one of my local mentors, an amazing guy called Joe Zito, who runs a Toyota dealership in Perth, you know, I had a chat with him one day and I said, mate, I just can't afford to hire anyone else.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he said, mate, you can't afford not to. just do it, and you know, it'll work. Money will come. You'll be more productive. You'll make more customers happy. And you know, I just threw it out in a limb and did it, and he was absolutely right. Tim and I did the same much more recently in Zelos a few years ago, when we took on a couple of great people. We were trying to choose between them both, and I sort of shared what Joe said to me with Tim, and I said, mate, why don't we just, because I think the business is going to really benefit from it, and it really has.
Nice. Ian, what are the three simple things one can do to take care of their personal finances?
Personal finances?
Yeah.
I think you've just got to really budget well. Like, you know, it's really hard. Look for opportunities where you can achieve your life goals. Do you want lots of money, or do you just want lots of time and freedom? Or you know, there's so many different answers that come back at me. Some are as simple as, I'd like to pay off a house 15 years before everybody else so I can get lots of time with my kids. And as long as I've got enough to eat and live, that's all I want. The guy wants, you know, three Lamborghinis and a mansion down in Turin. So I think then once you understand what you want for your life, longer term life, and, you know, perhaps what you want in retirement, start looking for ways you can achieve that, whether you're a wage earner or whether you can, you know, work in some sort of business, like cost it out. Yeah. Like, what is it going to cost me to achieve my goals, and what do I have to do to earn that?
Yeah.
And then make that your driving motivation. So it's not to win every day in business necessarily, but it's to achieve my personal goals for my life, no matter what they are.
Thank you for that, Ian. With your experience in managing staff across different countries, how do you maintain a cohesive company culture when your team is so geographically dispersed?
Yeah, look, I've been a big traveler for as long as, you know, from the first time I actually started to be able to afford to do a bit of travel, I love traveling. So I love immersing myself in other cultures, food, all that sort of thing. But I think it comes back to what I said before. It's about the humanity, you know. As somebody once said, we all bleed red, right? So I think it's like I spent some time yesterday talking with one of our amazing team over in the Philippines, just about personal stuff. It wasn't even, well, yeah, how are you going? What's happening? How's your family? But I'm genuinely interested in all of our team and who they are, what they're doing. Are they achieving their goals, whatever they may be? And you know, as much as is possible, you know, try and get over and visit when you can in person. We've got a lot of work done. I've got a lot of training. Had a lot of fun too, and had a few drinks and a few meals, and really got to just be mates together. No boss employee thing. Just sit down, have a few beers, talk, chew the fat a bit about the world, and have a great time. And I think that inspires them too, when they know they're just working for another human that's really no different to them.
Yep. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Ian. We have a rapid fire question for you. How do you unwind after a long day?
I come home, give my kids a hug, and cuddle the dogs, and sit down and have a drink.
Nice. What's one thing you would tell your younger self?
Be smarter. Don't go with emotion. So make smart decisions, not emotional decisions.
You are smart. If you could instantly learn a new skill, what would it be?
Fly a helicopter.
What's a hobby or passion you're currently pursuing?
Well, I have learned to fly small aircraft, and I really enjoy that, and I haven't done much of it recently, so I need to get back into that. My other crazy hobby is cooking. I absolutely love cooking, whether it's American barbecue, pizzas, homemade Italian stuff. I'm having a try at some Indian food too. So, yeah, I love cooking.
You reminded me of your pizza. Yum. How do you define success?
Sexist. I just think, for me, it defines someone who doesn't view other human beings as equal on the basis of their gender.
Nice.
And that's just wrong in every way, shape and form, and you know, we are all the same.
Yeah. I could not agree more. Completely agree, 100%. What's the best decision you have ever made?
Having kids.
I haven't experienced that. What's your proudest achievement?
Oh, I'd have to say my kids again. My kids are my world. Very sadly, I've lost two out of the four that I was blessed with, and making my disabled son's journey as nice as it could be, in conjunction with his mother, who really did most of the heavy lifting, to be honest, but we did what we could. And then sort of raising my two boys now, they're just, that's my whole life. Nothing else matters just then.
Nice. What's something you're looking forward to right now?
A holiday. I haven't had one for a while, and I've got a short one, which, yes, it is actually a boys' trip, but my best friend that I grew up with, we're celebrating 40 years of friendship and just doing a little mates trip up to Cairns and Port Douglas at the end of March. So I'm really looking forward to having, I haven't had a solid 7 days off for quite a long time. The last one was an amazing cruise I went on with my wife and kids. But yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to just rainforests and, yeah, having a bit of quiet time with my best mate, who does live on the other side of the country, so I don't get to see him very often.
That's good. How do you stay motivated during tough times?
I think you just have to focus on the longer term picture. There's very few problems that we encounter as humans in our life that can't be fixed. If you're motivated enough to fix them, obviously that doesn't include medical issues and things like, yeah, what my son went through. But yeah, the vast majority of issues we come across are fixable, and it's varying degrees of difficulty, both physically and emotionally, as to whether you're capable. So if you feel you're not, go and get professional help, because it's really good.
This is my last question. What is the equation with money?
Yeah, look, money has a lot of different meanings to a lot of different people. For me, the only thing that money really can buy that is actually valuable is some freedom. Freedom of choice, freedom to be where you want to be. When I was young, I used to dream about having a big house and a Lamborghini, and that would have been really cool. Now I actually couldn't care less. I'd like a beach shack and, probably a little quad to ride along the beach on, and that's about it. But, yeah, money, just having enough to be able to do the things that I would like to do in a meaningful way. And for me and my family, we love travel. So, you know, we've foregone a lot of material things so that we could travel. My kids have been lucky enough to visit many countries around the world, and none of that's been first class or business class or fancy hotels, but it's been experiencing culture, and it's just being able to be in new places and immerse yourself in the different things that this amazing world has to offer. Money can give you some of that if you structure your life right and really align, for me, the business goal of trying to make some money and is freedom. Just freedom.
I could not agree more. I completely agree with you. And this is one of the best answers I've heard when it comes to the equation with money. Well, thank you so much, Ian, for jumping on a call with us. And thank you for making our time to be on the podcast platform.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Shefali, and it's been a real honor to come onto your podcast.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. If you found the episode helpful, please feel free to like, share, and subscribe. It will help my channel grow. Thank you so much.